Welcome to the online ministry of Pacific Beach United Methodist Church, located in beautiful San Diego, California. Pacific Beach UMC is a member of the Reconciling Ministries Network and welcomes persons of all ages and backgrounds for worship, study, and service opportunities. More information can be found on our website at pbumc.org. May you be enriched in the hearing of these words, and may you receive and enjoy God's blessing.
I'm going to be sharing with you two scripture readings. The first will be from the Epistle of the Ephesians in chapter 3, verses 1 to 12. And you can follow along either in the Pew Bible or I think it is going to be posted up on the screen behind me as well. This is the reason that I, Paul, am a prisoner for Christ Jesus for the sake of you Gentiles. For surely you have already heard of the commission of God's grace that was given me for you, and how the mystery was made known to me by revelation, as I wrote above in a few words, a reading of which will enable you to perceive my understanding of the mystery of Christ. In former generations, this mystery was not made known to humankind, as it has now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. That is, the Gentiles have become fellow heirs, members of the same body, and sharers in the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. Of this gospel I have become a servant according to the gift of God's grace that was given me by the working of his power. Although I am the very least of all the saints, this grace was given to me to bring to the Gentiles the news of the boundless riches of Christ, and to make everyone see what is the plan of the mystery hidden for ages in God who created all things, so that through the church the wisdom of God in its rich variety might now be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. This was in accordance with the eternal purpose that he has carried out in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have access to God in boldness and confidence through faith in him. The gospel reading is from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 2, verses 1 to 12. And this, of course, is the story that Dee was referring to with the children, the story of the wise men coming to visit the Christ child. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, asking, "Where is the child who has been born King of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word so that I may also go and pay him homage." When they had heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then, opening their treasure chests, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. It's good to be among you. It was in 1961 and 62 that I worked as the youth director here at Pacific Beach United Methodist Church. I was 21 years old and a student at San Diego State. It was my experience working here that opened my heart to the call from God to become an ordained minister. To gain clarity on my calling, I spoke with the pastor here, Reverend Stan Smith. He affirmed me and then asked about my plans for marriage. I said I didn't have any definite plans. And he suggested that Methodist ministers almost always have a wife. Well, some months later, it was here in this sanctuary that I asked my girlfriend if she would marry me. Well, much has changed in the 54 years since then. You are a different congregation of people, and I am a different person. After 30 years of marriage, in 1994, my wife and I separated because I knew I was gay and I wanted to be open about this. And I've now been with my partner, Art, for 17 and a half years. From a faith perspective, you and I have also grown. We have overcome many prejudices and fears. We've gained greater understanding of the diversity of the human family. We've welcomed women into leadership and ordination. We've supported our friends going through divorce and those in single-parent situations. And for those of us who are lesbian, gay, bisexual, or transgender, we've discovered that our faith can welcome and even celebrate us for who we are and the gifts that we bring, just as our faith has done for our straight sisters and brothers. And on this day, this Epiphany Sunday, we are reminded again of how our faith stretches us to be inclusive of all people. It's deeply disturbing to me that there is so much abuse and misuse of Christianity, especially in the political and cultural wars of our country. Just recently, a pastor and writer named John Pavlovitz posted a piece online that he titled, "My Emancipation from American Christianity." He wrote, "I've outgrown American Christianity. I've outgrown the furrowed-browed warnings of a sky that is perpetually falling. I've outgrown the snarling brimstone preaching that brokers in damnation. I've outgrown the vile war rhetoric that continually demands an encroaching enemy. I've outgrown the expectation that my faith is the sole property of a political party. I've outgrown violent bigotry and xenophobia disguised as biblical obedience. I've outgrown God wrapped in a flag and soaked in rabid nationalism. I've outgrown the incessant attacks on the gay, Muslim, and atheist communities. I've outgrown theology as a hammer always looking for a nail. I've outgrown the cramped, creaky, rusting box that God never belonged in anyway. Most of all, though, I've outgrown something that simply no longer feels like love. Something I no longer see much of Jesus in." And he goes on. "If religion is to be worth holding on to, it should be the place where the marginalized feel the most visible, where the hurting receive the most tender care, where the outsiders find the safest refuge. It should be the place where diversity is fiercely pursued and equality loudly championed, where all of humanity finds a permanent home and where justice runs the show." Well, friends, Epiphany Sunday is one of the days in our church calendar that underscores the perspective shared by John Pavlovitz. The gospel reading tells the story of the visit of the wise men. And the purpose of this story is to tell us that Jesus was born not just for the Jewish people, but for all the non-Jewish people as well. The wise men represented the Gentile world. And through their visit to the Christ child, the Gentile world was recognizing Christ's birth. This message was revolutionary for the Jews. God and God's Messiah were no longer exclusively for Jews, but now were for all people everywhere. The letter to the Ephesians picks up on this theme. It speaks of a mystery made known. It's a truth about the inclusive nature of God's love, and it was revealed to some of the prophets and in the life and the teachings of Jesus. But most people were not ready to receive it, so it remained a mystery. And even now, 2,000 years after Jesus, and after the message was articulated by those who told the story of Jesus and his teachings, we still struggle to accept and live by the truth of this mystery made known. And the message is clear. The writer to the Ephesians says, in former generations, this mystery was not made known to humankind as it has now been revealed to the holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. That is, the Gentiles have become fellow heirs, members of the same body, and sharers in the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. The writer of the Ephesians is saying that through Christ, we are to understand there is no longer a division between Jews and Gentiles, between one kind of people and another kind of people. In Christ, we are to see that God's love embraces everyone. People didn't see that before. It was a mystery. But now we are told the mystery is made known. All people are included in God's love. In his letter to the Galatians, the Apostle Paul put it this way: there is no longer Jew or Greek. There is no longer slave or free. There is no longer male or female. For all of you are one in Christ Jesus. This message is a powerful challenge to those of us who divide people into categories of acceptability and unacceptability. Some Christians exclude women from ordained ministry. Some exclude people of other races from attending their church. Some exclude others because of social and economic standing. Some exclude others because they don't conform to their understanding of supposed God-given rules. But the message today is that the distinctions that we make don't apply. In the sight of God, we are all God's beloved children. We all belong. If Paul were writing this message today, I believe he would add, there is no longer one race or another. There is no longer straight or gay. There is no longer young or old. There is no longer the unblemished or handicapped or differently abled. There is no longer right believers and wrong believers. For all are one in Christ Jesus. That's the mystery that's been revealed. From time to time, I come across a story that represents an important truth that is deeply reflective of my faith. For me, the experience of Brother Charles, Carlo Corretto, and the little Muslim boy Abderrahman is such a story. Brother Charles lived alone in a hermitage in the desert of northern Africa. And he wrote about one of those times that Abderrahman accompanied him to the hermitage. He said, The sun has set and the air has freshened. It's good to walk. We always have many things to talk about because we are really fond of one another. Every morning I find him outside my cell waiting for me to finish my meditation. Often we have tea together and he tells me how much he likes the bread I make. Abderrahman is always hungry, but he never asks me for anything. It's always I who have to guess that he wants food. This evening, he is serious and answers my questions with difficulty. I realize that he has something important to say to me and hesitates to do so. But I know it won't be long before he speaks, because there are no secrets between him and me. "What's the matter, Abderrahman?" I ask. Silence. "Are you hungry?" Silence. "Did Daddy spank you?" Silence. "Has your bird escaped from its cage?" Silence. "Speak to me, Abderrahman. I know, you know I am your friend." Abderrahman bursts into tears, his naked body shaking. Tears stream down his face. Now it's my turn to be silent. I must await the stilling of the storm. I squeeze his hands harder as a sign of affection. "Well then, Abderrahman, what's making you cry?" "Brother Charles, I am crying because you don't become a Muslim." "Oh," I exclaim, "and why should I become a Muslim? Abderrahman, I am a Christian and believe in Jesus. I believe in the God who created heaven and earth, just as you do. And our prayers go to the same heaven because there's only one God. It is God who has created us, who feeds us and loves us. If you do your duty, don't rob, don't kill, don't tell lies, and follow the voice of your conscience, then you'll go to heaven, and it'll be the same heaven as mine, if I too have done what God commanded me. Don't cry anymore." "No, no," Abderrahman cries. "If you don't become a Muslim, you'll go to hell like all Christians." "Oh, what a thought, Abderrahman. Who told you I would go to hell if I didn't become a Muslim?" "A man in the village told me that all Christians go to hell, and I don't want you to go to hell." We have almost reached the hermitage, and Abderrahman stops. He has never come any further than this. He has always stopped 10 steps away from that building, and he would not enter for all the gold in the world, as though inside there were some mysterious deviltry forbidden to little Muslims. His love for me, and it is great, has always been injured by this wall which divides us, and which this evening is taking on such an absolutely terrible name, hell. I tell him, "No, Abderrahman, God is good and will save both of us. He will save your father, too, and we shall all go to heaven. Don't believe that just because I am a Christian, I shall go to hell, as I don't believe you'll go there just because you're a Muslim. God is so good. Perhaps you didn't understand really what the man meant. Perhaps he said that bad Christians go to hell. Cheer up. Go home and say your prayers while I say mine. And before you finish, say this to God, and I'll say it too. Lord, let all people be saved. Go on." Brother Charles entered the hermitage, but this evening it was difficult for him to pray. He wrote, "What a tumult of thoughts my little friend has aroused in me. Poor little Abderrahman, you too are a victim of fanaticism. The stormy zeal of religious people, the so-called people of God, who would send half the human race to hell just because they are not one of us. How can the thread of love which links me to a brother or sister be broken by an alleged purity of faith, or that religion, instead of being a bridge of union, should become a trench of death, or at least of unconfessed hate. We're best off without it, this religion which divides us. Best to fumble around in the dark than to possess a light like that. Well, friends, yes, indeed. It would be better, I believe, to fumble around in the dark than to follow a religion that would send half the world's people to hell because they don't believe as we do. On this Epiphany Sunday, we celebrate the message that God's love is for all people. This was the mystery that was made known in Christ. And just as Brother Charles knew this in the depths of his being, we are invited to claim this for ourselves, to know that we are included in God's love, and that we are asked to embody God's love and make it known in all that we say and do. Amen. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, your Spirit calls us to learn to love every other human being in this world as our brother and sister, to become more gracious and caring, to love ourselves as we also seek to love those that are very different from ourselves, to celebrate the gift of this diversity, and to know that whatever happens in life, that your Spirit is with us, sustaining us, inviting us to represent your love in this broken world. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Friends, let's join our hearts together in this time of prayer. O God, who is love, who lived among us in Christ, and who continues to live among us in all the loving actions of your children throughout the world, open our minds and hearts to your presence within us and in our relationships with one another. By the warmth of your love, melt the walls of fear and hatred that keep us from letting your love live in our lives. Encourage us and strengthen us to risk being true followers of your Son. We give thanks, O God, for having arrived safely at this new year. Thank you for all the blessings of the past and for bringing us face to face with the opportunities and challenges of the future. As we face this new year, make us strong in our desire to work for a better world, to courageously overcome our fears, and to embody your loving Spirit in all we say and do. Give us open hearts and deeper understanding as we learn to celebrate the diversity of the human family and to affirm that your love embraces all. We hold before you all those we have remembered in our prayers this day and ask for your healing presence, your comforting assurance, and your empowering Spirit to be with each one. O gracious God, all these prayers we ask you to hear in the name and Spirit of your Son, Jesus our Christ, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.